Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9 to 5 for a 5 to 9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
College holds a mythic place in American culture, but there are stories you won't hear on the campus tours.
The higher-ups are concerned about one thing, and that is avoiding scandal.
I'm Margot Gray. On the new podcast, Campus Files, we cover everything from rigged admissions to the drama of Greek life and student protests. Listen to and follow Campus Files, an Odyssey original podcast, available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
We have a lot to get to with the Cavs, and so we're going to start there. We had Nick Chubb later on at 3 o'clock hour. We'll get into that, some of the Brown stuff as well. We have an update within the Darius Garland story, though, in case you're like driving around trying to figure out what exactly is happening. Shams, moments ago before we got on the air, said not only is he going to miss time to start the 2025-2026 season, he was first diagnosed with the injury March 23rd in Utah, managed to end the regular season before re-aggravating and then playing through the great toe injury in the playoffs. They need to come up with a better designation.
Great toe. The Sergeant Hulka.
Yeah, I saw your tweet on that.
That's the Sergeant Hulka is the big toe.
Yeah. I
can't repeat that movie conversation on the air.
But like the great toe has such importance to it, has such significance to it.
Well, Katie was asking before the show, she's like, I never knew it was the great toe. And I'm like, yeah, it's the big toe, aka the Sergeant Hulka.
Yeah. So do you think this impacts Darius Garland's trade value at all?
I think it impacts it a little bit. If anything, I think it, and validate is the wrong word to use in this situation, but it was kind of an I told you so moment for me, because the moment that it came out that he had this injury, I was like, you watch, we're going to have another Jared Allen situation where in the offseason at some point, we're going to get the email that Darius Garland underwent successful surgery to repair his big toe. And here we are, it's, you know, June, and what do you know, he has this surgery to repair whatever injury he suffered to that big toe. And we went through this last year with Jared Allen, not so much with the surgery, but with the rib cage, where fans were just absolutely destroying Jared for not being available in that Celtics series.
Well, and so was one half of the Morris twins, too.
Right, and it turns out it wasn't bruised ribs, it was a broken rib. In this case, it was more than just clearly a sore big toe. And Darius kind of alluded to the severity of it in his...
Didn't they at one point, they called it a sprain, is where they got
I believe so, yeah. And so in the locker clean-out day, media availability day, the day after they got eliminated by the Pacers, you know, Garland kind of laid out what he went through. You know, he had to have a metal wedge in between the toe and to protect it, and all this stuff he had to go through just so he could get himself back on the court and be there but for his teammates. But, Jonathan, it's another situation where the Cavaliers downplayed an injury. Their player just absolutely got destroyed for being marshmallow soft by fans and some media, not all media.
There was a lot of different parts of the media that was just, they were destroying Darius Garland for not playing through it. It's like, if you could play in the first two games, and you should be able to play in these other games. And there was a whole laundry. Stephen A., my goodness, Stephen A. lost his mind on Darius Garland.
Yeah, so I feel like the organization, once again, did a disservice to their player, having him drug through the ringer by fans and media over what ended up being a very significant injury.
Well, and so the hard part about that, Daryl, is now if you have a bunch of people that want to come back, and we'll get to the side of this in a little bit, but a bunch of people want to come back and say, well, the playoffs come with an asterisk now. Maybe you don't tear up the team based off of something like this if it really was injured. All these other storylines that you can come up with, where if we had known it in the moment that it was that serious, maybe we look at it just a little bit different.
It doesn't change my view on where this team is.
Okay, so even it's all right, so let's talk first off. How much of his value is actually taken away? Because I saw a lot of Cavs fans online in different spots trying to be like, well, now you can't trade him, and now it's just Jared Allen as the only one that's on board. I don't think that's true. Listen, if you're out for 4 or 5 months with an injury, now it does highlight the fact that the man has made of glass at this point. That's not great. It's like another year Darius Garland goes down with a significant injury. It does add into the equation of, okay, is he maybe just not the most healthiest human we've ever seen, which is something you can take back to his Vanderbilt days. The reason why he didn't play in college was because of that injury that he had, or at least played very briefly in college. The point being, when it comes to Darius, does this mean the Cavs have taken him off the trade market? I don't think so. Because I feel like in this equation, 4 or 5 months down the line, any team that acquires him, you're not caring about what happens before December. You're December on. You're January on.
Right.
So you're trading him with the idea that he'll ramp up, he'll get back up to speed, and he'll be the player that he was. You're not worried about October basketball.
No. And look, you bring up his injury history. Fair or not, it is part of the equation. Your best ability
is
your availability.
Ago.
And he's always getting hurt. And unfortunately, he always seems to get hurt at the worst possible time. And I'm not dogging on Darius because of that. He doesn't want to get hurt. He's not doing it intentionally.
Right.
You know, fans that were in the most absurd take that I saw during the playoffs. And so it doesn't take a lot to make my blood boil. But this one really, you know, got me upset.
Yeah, you're easily prodded.
But yeah, it's easy to poke the bear here. But what really upset me is the fans were like, Darius is on vacation during the playoffs. Like, he just wants to sit back. Because I guess he was on the bench and, you know, standing up and cheering for his teammates or something. And fans were like, well, if you can do that, you should be able to go out there and play. What are you doing? He just wants to take a vacation during the second round of the playoffs with the season on the line. What is he doing? He has no heart. And I'm just like, come on now. Like,
it's also the same people that called in and was like, I stubbed my toe at a Holiday Inn one time.
Me?
I know what this feels like. Was that you?
Yeah, I did a whole segment on my Sunday show about how
you're the problem.
I have no pain threshold whatsoever. I dropped an iPad on my toe last week, and
your toe did not need 4 to 5 months of recovery time and a major surgery, right?
Can
we agree, though, that it was not the same? It was apples to bowling balls? It was not the same comp?
No, it still hurts today. I limped into work again today. I'm playing hurt once again. This is what I do.
There's two things in sports radio that are insane for people. Back injuries, because everyone knows how like problematic and serious those are, but then ultimately develops into sciatica, and everyone's like, oh, I've had sciatica. Yeah, I have too. We're not dealing with the same things with some of these athletes.
Crack the back injuries. When you wake up, crack the back before you go to bed. It's just a daily routine for me.
I wouldn't wish it on anybody, but it's not the same.
Knees and ankles just come along for the ride.
Right, when your toe needs 4 to 5 months of recovery time after surgery, then I'll say that you guys are equal.
Look, it's still very colorful. I put on my socks today, took a look at it. I was like, yeah, okay, that's great. It's, we're getting there.
Yeah? Did you get there?
No, it's still not there. It still hurts.
It won't be. 216-474-0092. Has the trade value of Darius Garland been impacted with this news? I think the only thing it highlights for me, Daryl, is just how injured of a human he actually is.
Yeah.
And I think we're just going to have to accept that. If you're dealing with a trade partner, like if everyone brings up Orlando with Jalen Suggs, if I'm Orlando now, if I make that deal, it comes with the idea that, listen, the fans are not going to care about what happens in October if you're a Magic fan, but they are going to care about, did you trade for damaged goods? Did you trade for something that is just ultimately a broken toy? And I don't know that Darius Garland can beat those charges right now.
It's frustrating for him, I know. We make the joke, can people keep their hands, arms, elbows, shoulders away from his face, right? We make those jokes. But it is a legitimate concern, his injury history, that it's unfortunate, but it is part of his story. And once again, at the most inopportune time, he suffered what now has turned out to be a pretty significant injury that the organization, once again, tried to downplay, which once again got one of their star players excoriated by its fan base and the national media for being too soft and unwilling to step up and play hurt.
All right, 216-474-0092. How does Darius's toe injury affect his trade value? Open phone lines for you guys. We'll also get to our Twitter reactions. Those are brought to you by our friends over there at Chabon Jewelers, Cleveland's premier jewelry store. It's Afternoon Drive right here on The Fan. Back to the Darius Garland discussion, though. Asking you guys at 216-474-0092, does the toe injury let Darius off the hook for the playoffs, and how does Darius's toe injury affect his trade value? Now, Chris Fedor, who's going to be with me tomorrow and Thursday, and I'm dying to find out what he thinks and how this all impacts everything, but this was him over the weekend right here on The Fan with Earl and Spencer on Saturday. Here's what he said about Darius.
I keep coming back to the same thing. Guys, I keep coming back to Darius has to go. Like, if you're going to reimagine the offense, if you're going to reconfigure the roster, and if you're going to reset your salary cap situation, this is a top-heavy team. This is a top-heavy roster. This is a team that is going to get really, really expensive as we continue to move forward. But if you're trying to accomplish all three of those things in one off season, there is one move that allows you to do that, and it's trading Darius. And it comes with this caveat, right? The package that they would be offered for Darius would have to be one that I would say yes to. It would have to be one that they would say yes to. And it would have to be one that I believe would make them a better basketball team and increase their chances of taking the next step as an organization and competing for a championship.
Now, I don't think that this injury takes a trade off the table. I said that last segment. I'll say it with you guys right now. But I do wonder if it impacts his value. Like, if we're talking about whether or not, you know, Chris mentions, in my mind, he didn't say Godfather offer, but in my mind, he mentioned something that was a very heavy package, something that would tilt it in the Cavs' favor and let him accomplish several different things. That offer, I'm not so sure, still exists, because Darius is very much seen as an injured basketball player. But how much was this injury actually impacting his value out there? Well, I guess we'll find out, Daryl, but it doesn't seem to be like it would be a massive amount, in my opinion.
Well, I mean, look, he's going to be back close to the start of the season and available. I don't think it's... Because when you make trades for players that are coming off of surgery or whatever, the trade is made with the understanding that the player underwent surgery and is not going to immediately pass a physical, because every trade you make, they always put in the fine print... Pending physical.
Yeah.
Right? And it certainly, I don't think, takes away from his ability to be the dynamic player that he is once he comes back healthy. The problem is he's always getting hurt.
Mm-hmm.
And so the challenge for Kobe Altman is to, if he does make a move with Darius, is to minimize the injury concerns of the team that he's working with. And, you know, basically sell the greatness of Darius Garland. Because Darius, when he's healthy, is a phenomenal player.
Right, but it's the problem when he's healthy
is he's often injured and he's small. And any time, my biggest criticism of Darius isn't even about the injuries. It's about any time a team gets rough and physical with him, he just can't respond.
Yeah.
And we've seen this in the playoffs. And so...
Oh, for sure. I mean, again, there's multiple games I can point to. Game 3 against the Knicks 2 years ago. Game 7 against Orlando last year. And then, yeah, I mean, it's just... But we've seen this with him. Like, there are certain games... I go back to Game 7 against Orlando. I mean, that's a game you have to be winning and you have to take care of business. You're down 18 at the half. And part of that reason why is Darius was an absolute and utter no-show in that spot.
Yeah, that's how you neutralize Darius, is you get after him a little bit. You get physical with him.
Mm-hmm.
You don't do anything dirty, but you body him a little bit. Make him feel you. Bringing the ball up the floor. When you get into, you know, across the timeline there, get up on him when he gets the ball in his hands and make him defer to somebody else or make a bad decision. Force a shot.
Right.
You know, force a dribble drive, whatever. So I don't know that this particular injury is going to take away from his trade value. But I will say this, Jonathan. It does not alter my perception of what the Cavaliers need to do. To Chris Fedor's point, like, they can't run this thing back.
Well, and so that's the other side of this coin, right? Does it spotlight the idea that if you, let's say you make a trade with Jared Allen and you get rid of him, how much can you depend on Darius Garland now at this point?
Well, I mentioned this.
Because you're banking. That's what you're doing. You're banking on Darius being the one that is healthy and injured. And now for back-to-back postseasons, we've seen him not be able to do that. But you're banking on that health at the end of the season and the ability to actually be on the court.
So when I was on with Ken and Anthony this morning, they had brought up the Darius situation, you know, Chris's comments over the weekend.
And Chris will join us again, by the way, tomorrow. So we'll get his full-fledged thoughts there, on, especially on the latest as well.
Yeah, and I said my list of priorities for Kobe Altman this offseason is, one, find somebody, anybody, to take Isaac Okoro. That guy just can't play.
Iceman. Oh, Mac hates to hear it.
Wait.
This is supposed to be a bully-free week for Mac, and you're already starting off bullying him like this? Is his favorite player of all time?
I didn't get the memo.
You didn't?
I was not included on that inner office correspondence.
All right, we'll get back to your Okoro point, and then we'll understand. Well, Ice is
Peterlin pass coming for me for Isaac Okoro.
It's a soft spot.
The Peterlin pass.
3:40 today. Please be listening. Go ahead.
But he can play defense. His offense is atrocious. There's a reason they leave him wide open all the time. It's not a compliment. It's because he can't shoot.
Yeah,
he still can't shoot.
He looks like the Moses Cleveland statue in the corner.
They've got to get rid of him, okay? Then the next move has to be Jared Allen. Find someone who wants and needs a center, because I think once you move Jared Allen, that completely will open everything up for Evan Mobley. And you can play like you saw the Indiana Pacers play with one big, four smalls. You've seen the Thunder play, one big, four smalls. Mm-hmm. That's what the Cavaliers need to do, because, well, whether you and I agree, disagree, like it, don't like it, that's the NBA. It's run up the floor, chuck some threes, go get the rebound if you miss, create an extra possession. You know, the reason Jarrett struggles in the rebounding area at times is because, well, the caroms are coming off the rim. It's some insane angles and bouncing back out to the perimeter. And as we saw against the Pacers, and we knew this going into the series, Jared struggles moving from the rim to the perimeter and from the perimeter back to the rim.
All right, so you're trading Okoro, you're trading Allen. Are you also trading Garland too?
Then I get to Darius Garland, and depending what Kobe is able to do.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
College holds a mythic place in American culture, but there are stories you won't hear on the campus tours.
The higher-ups are concerned about one thing, and that is avoiding scandal.
I'm Margot Gray. On the new podcast, Campus Files, we cover everything from rigged admissions to the drama of Greek life and student protests. Listen to and follow Campus Files, an Odyssey original podcast. Available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
With those first two moves, then you contemplate, okay, now what do I do with Darius? My point in laying all that out, Jonathan, is that Darius is number three on my list of players that I would be willing to part with.
Does this injury change that at all for you?
No.
Does it bump it up? Because I really do question how much you can depend on Darius now moving forward. I mean, I'm going to make a bad comparison here. Understand it's only on the football field side of things. It doesn't go the full distance. Play with me for a second.
Is it going to be as bad as my cabin week for Nick and
no.
The movie Tag?
No, close okay. though. There's a million reasons why, but one of the main reasons why I would never tell an NFL quarterback that you need to get in the Deshaun Watson business is because he can't stay on the field. Like, even if he could play at this point, he can't stay on the field. And I wonder if we're entering that territory with Darius Garland. I mean, we've been talking about injuries with him since before he was drafted, but they haven't subsided and they haven't gone away. Now with this toe injury, another 4 to 5 months, always finds some way to get himself injured. Maybe don't use your head as a battering ram into people's hips might be a good start, but He always finds a way to get injured.
But that's the way he drives the basketball, though. I think what he does is it's a natural protection for him that he crouches down when he does the dribble drive because he's not only trying to protect the ball, but he's trying to protect himself. And then that's ultimately what leads to his face ending up connected to somebody's shoulder, elbow, hand, whatever.
I love watching him play, and I'll watch him in a regular season game all day, every day. He's a joy to watch. But the reality is if they bring him back, I'm just going to be sitting there thinking to myself, at what point is he going to end up getting injured, and what can he actually do for this team long term?
He's number three on my priority list, though, to address this offseason. That's my whole point. He's not number one. Like, I feel like they got to make the Okoro move first to help them with the whole cap situation and maybe create a little flexibility there. You move Jared Allen because I think moving Jared is absolutely essential. And this is coming from somebody who is a huge
Jared Allen fan.
I love him as a player. I love him as a person.
Mm-hmm.
But at the same time, it's a business decision for me. I've watched three straight postseasons where it's been a struggle for him. And again, the style of play, when you're watching the teams that are in the NBA Finals right now, the Pacers and the Thunder there, and I'll even throw in the Knicks there. Like, this Cavs team is currently constructed. Mm-hmm. Well, it didn't beat the Pacers. They weren't going to beat the Thunder, and I'm convinced they weren't going to get through the Knicks either. So they have to change something this offseason. I don't know if it's one member of the core four or two. I'll admit, last year I was wrong because I was all about blowing up the core four last year,
yeah,
doing these two moves with Darius and Jared.
I don't think it made you wrong in any sort of way.
They won 64 games and got the top seed in the East.
No, you did nothing in the postseason.
I understand that, but
the whole emphasis in all of this is what happens in the postseason. Like, I think there were so many people that already admitted defeat in being, did we break up the two bigs? Did we break up the two guards? And ultimately, I don't care about 64 regular season wins.
There's only two untouchables on this roster. Their names are Evan Mobley and Donovan Mitchell.
Mm-hmm.
The rest of it, I am indifferent is the wrong word. I am open to whatever moves that Kobe Altman can make this offseason to try and make this an NBA championship contender. Because right now, they are a regular season top seed in the conference team,
mm-hmm,
but in the postseason, they're a second-round exit at best.
216-474-0092. Does the toe injury let Darius off the hook for the playoffs? Jeff and Euclid up next. What's up, Jeff?
Oh, God. Can I change the subject?
No. Are you going to talk Darius?
No. I want to talk Guardians catcher.
No, I don't care about the Guardians catcher right now.
Okay.
The Guardians catcher hit a two-run homer yesterday.
You talk Garland or I hang up the phone? Your call, Jeff.
No, hang up the phone. But listen, there's got to be a catcher. There's got to be a catcher that we can bring up. Okay? There's got to be one. I can't even think of it right now.
What if you bring him up
from Columbus? Okay, who's the best catcher that the Guardians have now?
Wait.
I want to bring him up right now. And I don't know why you bring up the other outfielders then.
Where is this coming from, Jeff? Jeff? Oh, no. I hit the hang-up button. Listen, it was going nowhere. Can we all agree that call was going nowhere? Backup. He didn't even know what catcher he wanted to bring up.
First of all, he got in on deceitful premises.
It was deceitful premises. I'm not even putting that on Jake. That's not even on Jake. That was just a drunk man at 2:30 wanted to talk Guardians catchers.
I don't know. Someone
you think
got,
he was sober wanting to talk Guardians catchers?
Trying to Trojan horse in a conversation about backup catchers for the Guardians?
All I know is someone got by the Assassin's Apprentice right now.
Is it the first time in the history of sports talk radio someone has Trojan horsed a subject in order to try to talk backup to the backup catcher?
I'm not going to
lie. On a baseball team?
I did not realize, and maybe this is on me, Jonathan. Nowhere in the pre-show meeting did I have a hot take on the Guardians catching situation right now.
Yeah, I knew this is what was going to happen, though. We were going to tell him, no, you have to stay to the topic, and then we're going to all be interested based off of what he had to say outside of the actual topic at hand. This was the most predictable thing ever.
I'm not lying. I am Googling who the Guardians have in Columbus.
You don't have to Google it. Mac knows the answer for every farm system that we have.
Who is it, Mac?
And the catcher at every level.
Answer Jeff's question. Who is it?
Cody Huff.
Not a doubt in my mind. He had that locked and ready to go. Like, there was one thing. Like, if Jeopardy was like, hey, you get to have a, for one category, you get to go ahead and pick and choose what you want. I'd choose 90s baseball, something around there. For Mac, it would be like, Guardians farm system.
I would go movies.
I know you'd go movies and you'd make obscure tag references for movies that 12 people watch, but I happen to be one of them. I remember what I was doing when I watched that.
You can't hate on me if you're one of the 12 people that watched the movie,
though.
I didn't
hate it.
That was the problem.
The only reason why I remember it is because there were so many stars in it, and I was also like, really not bad. I'm supposed to hate this movie, but it's really not bad. Do you think the toe injury let Darius off the hook for the playoffs?
No. For fans, no.
Okay.
For me, absolutely. Because, again, I sarcastically said at the time, I can't wait to get the email that he's having surgery, and it was going to come in June or July. And here we are in June. We got the email. He had surgery. I don't think fans are going to let him off the hook. But for me, the moment he told us he had to have a metal plate in his shoe so that he could play, that got him off the hook.
So I think it lets him off the hook for me from a playing standpoint, but the problem, and this is going to sting even worse for Darius, is that it just creates a bigger issue in my head, which is, okay, you're just a very injured human. I can't rely on you anymore. I'm sorry. I wish it wasn't this way. You have a lot of talent. You're still young. You could be a very good basketball player in this league, but you're never going to be healthy for an entire year. It's just not how you operate. I hate that it's this way. But the undersized guard thing has really come back to go ahead and bite you in the you-know-what, and I can't depend on you.
I think that if this injury does anything, it might prompt Kobe Altman to hit the eject key on Darius Garland and move him.
Did Kobe Altman get insulted? We'll do it next in Quick Hits. It's Afternoon Drive right here on The Fan.
From the latest news and rumors around the sports world,
go Angel, Angel,
to the sound bites you need to hear,
hurry, hurry.
It's Quick Hits.
All right, we're going to start off with Shaq on the big podcast. That's Shaq's podcast. That's the one that he came in one time. Were you here that day when he came into the studio?
I was not.
It was like 7 or 8 years ago. I was telling my wife this over the weekend.
He had to duck as he walked down the hallway, I heard,
though. So we watched the Shaq documentary this weekend about Reebok and him becoming the president of the basketball operations over there.
Don't spoil it for me because it's in my queue right now.
Well, it's not. I mean, it's not like a really spoil. I mean, it's unless you're geeked up for Dink Pate highlights, there's not much I can really spoil. Oil for you, but it was good. I liked it. We liked it a lot. So you're gonna enjoy it.
Okay.
And I was telling her when he came into the studio how he had this like cat T-shirt where the cat was in like outer space, and he was just a ridiculous character. But he came in, he recorded the podcast, and he was great. He took photos with just about everybody and was awesome. Largest human I've ever seen in my life.
I remember covering him, the cup of coffee he had with the Cavaliers back in 2010.
Yeah, and well, it's funny. I always thought he was annoying and inside the NBA. He's like my least favorite part of Inside the NBA.
Really?
Yeah, least favorite by far. Yeah. I think that it could be a three-man show, and I think it would be just as good, if not better. But I liked this documentary. Not the point. The point is that Shaq got on Kobe Altman and making a defense of Amani Bates. Here we go.
To the Cleveland Cavaliers general manager, what the f*** are you doing? Why is Amani Bates in the f***ing G League? What the f*** is going on? This motherfucker can play. The last game you put him in, he had, what, 7 threes? Don't you think you need that for a championship? Wherever you are, general manager for Cleveland, what the f*** are you doing?
I don't need to defend Amani Bates. He's got a lot of Amani Bates truthers out there already that exist. Do you think does Shaq not know Kobe Altman's name?
I don't think that my one complaint about the Inside the NBA folks is I don't think they actually watch a lot of NBA basketball outside of when they're actually working that night for TNT or
Track. I mean, Shaq's got 12 million businesses, including being the president of Reebok.
I understand that, but there's a lot of times where it shows they're not watching. Clearly, they've not paid a lot of attention. Imani Bates, I pulled up his numbers for you, okay?
Yeah.
His career numbers in 25 games.
Oh, he scores a ton.
He's shooting 33% from three. He's less than 33% shooting the basketball altogether. He's averaging a whopping 3.1 points per game.
No. Is that in the NBA, not in the G League?
In the NBA,
In the G League, he's averaging like 20 a game, isn't he?
This just in. The G League is not the NBA.
I know, but he's judged more on the G League performances than he is on the NBA performances right now because he hasn't really gotten much of a chance in the NBA.
Yeah, in his limited time, I'll just say this. I've not been exactly blown away. And I'm going to give Kobe Altman a little...
He's averaging 19 and 6 in the G League.
I'm
with you. It doesn't matter.
Yeah.
And it doesn't mean he's going to be a good basketball player.
I've not been blown away by him when he has gotten his cups of coffee with the Cavaliers.
He was just such a hyped up I mean, really, high school prospect is all it was. Like in high school, he was supposed to be the next great, awesome basketball player, and it just never really materialized.
Look, the Cavs are in a position where they're looking for the most affordable talent available, right? And let's be honest about it, Imani Bates not going to cost the Cavaliers a lot of money to put him on the floor. I'm going to give Kobe the benefit of the doubt here and say there's a reason that Kobe has not had him on the floor extended minutes.
I think Kobe's going to be right more than wrong in this. I just think it's wild that of all the people that you could hear Shaq going to bat for, it was Imani Bates. It made no sense and came out of left field.
Omaha! Tanner Bibee had himself a pretty good outing yesterday down at the ballpark. Looked like he was going to pick up another win. Thought he had Cam Smith struck out. Didn't get the call. Very next pitch.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
College holds a mythic place in American culture, but there are stories you won't hear on the campus tours.
The higher-ups are concerned about one thing, and that is avoiding scandal.
I'm Margo Gray. On the new podcast, Campus Files, we cover everything from rigged admissions to the drama of Greek life and student protests. Listen to and follow Campus Files, an Odyssey original podcast. Available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
It's Smith smacked the game-tying two-run double. After the game, Bibee was pretty frustrated and upset. He said he was angry that he didn't get the call. Then you had another situation yesterday. Cubs shortstop Nico Hoerner, he got thrown out by plate umpire Derek Thomas after he rung him up on a pitch that was a borderline from Tiger starter Jack Flaherty. After the game, Hoerner was asked about what he said to the umpire that got him an early shower.
I mean, I don't think it's really that often you can verbatim say to the press afterwards, like, what got you thrown out? So I said, you're having a really bad day.
Okay. Mm. Is it time now, because they did this experiment in spring training where you could challenge the strikeouts.
Yeah.
Has it come time now for robot umpires?
So I'm very torn on this always because I am of the belief that I want the calls right, but I also love the conversation around the calls. And so I really do think it's part of the game to be sitting there and talking to your buddy and being like, does the ump have a wide strike zone today? Is he calling the corner? Is he and the gamemanship attached to that, I always thought was really good. In fact, I think in recent years when they've started actually doing the umpire report cards and they grade these guys based off the missed calls and the right calls and everything in between, I think that's hurt the game a little bit because I do think the idea that the ump's own strike zone that day was such an important and crucial part of the game and was a lot of fun. So I'm torn into whether or not this is the right decision or the wrong decision. I tend to lean towards get the call right, but I am a sports talker at the heart of it, and so I do like chaos as well, and so I like people complaining about things.
They still get the replay challenges wrong, too. So, I don't know. Does it even matter at this point?
Yeah, I mean, for the longest time, it was always about whether or not they could get the technology up to speed in order to be able to do it. Like, they had the testing done and everything like that, but they were always worried about whether or not it was as pinpoint as could be, and that's why it stayed in the minors for so long. But now they've gotten it to a spot where they could put it up there. I just think it takes a little bit away from the conversation around the game. And some of the little things like that, like the double with Cam Smith and Bibee's frustration and everything associated with it, like that type of stuff I think is great for the game, the conversation around it, even if Bibee afterwards is like, well, that really screwed me. Okay. It's going to wash out in the end. You'll be the benefactor sometimes. It'll be all right.
Omaha!
All right, the Packers offered Jair Alexander a reduced incentive-laden one-year deal that would make him a free agent in 2026. Alexander turned it down, not liking the structure of that deal. Green Bay tried to trade him back in March, also during the draft. Yeah, I think he got till 4 o'clock today. Behind the scenes, people are wondering whether or not the Packers are trying to work on something before they end up just straight up releasing him and letting him go. Should the Browns be in on Jair Alexander?
In they're going to trade Greg Newsom, yes. But if they're not going to trade Greg Newsom, I'd probably say no.
I think the idea was that it would come with a Newsom trade. But you have no interest in Jair Alexander?
I have moderate interest. I just don't know if the... if you have enough room for him at this point.
Yeah, and the other part of this, too, it seems like the type of move you would make if you are really trying to be like a really competitive football team and you're like squeaking out that 10-win to 11-win territory and you're on the bubble right there. You're somewhere, you're competitive. It doesn't seem like the type of move that this Browns team would make for this year.
Yeah, this is a year where the Browns could be trying to squeak out a 4th, 5th, or 6th win.
And squeaking out is really just being generous about it in some ways, too.
Yeah, I'm trying to be kind here.
It's fun, though. It's fun having these discussions. I like that Browns fans got into it earlier today and like the immediate thought of it, because it feels like every cool, fun, interesting player that has become available or has been on the market, we've just had to immediately just kind of shut that down and be like, not for this team.
We are back to waiver claim day at the end of August is going to be... that player is helping the Browns get back to the playoffs and going to make them Super Bowl contenders, even though they just got cut from a contending team.
Omaha!
The 2025 French Open yesterday, the men's singles final between Carlos Alcaraz and Jannik Sinner. 5-hour, 29-minute marathon, longest final in Roland Garros history, second longest Grand Slam finale overall. Let's put it this way. I did a whole 4-hour radio show in between this match, got home, and they were still playing.
Okay.
Did you find it more entertaining or exhausting watching that final?
Oh, I didn't watch. So it's funny. I took my daughter to soccer in the morning. Second week of her doing soccer. This week, she actually kicked the ball, oddly enough.
First week,
she didn't kick the ball at all first week. She was on the all-hands team. This week she actually kicked the ball and she had some fun. And I was talking to one of the dads and he was like, oh, you do tennis too? And I'm like, no, I don't ever talk tennis on the air. And he's like, oh, you know, we got the early on in the morning there was some other match as well.
Yeah.
And he was trying to reference that and like have a convo about it. And I was like,
I have no idea what you're talking about.
I went back to my like gambling tennis days. So like I know all the players. Because I'd gamble on it, so I'd know the players.
I guess I asked you the wrong question. What did your friends in the desert have for the French Open?
That would have been the right. Yeah, that would have been the right. So wait, so you didn't watch it either then?
No, it was on in the studio.
And you guys were both locked in? You and Padone were locked into tennis?
And during the commercial breaks, we were locked in, and then we're like, well, we got to get back to the show.
No, let me tell you why. It's because...
I had no idea what I was watching, but I was locked in.
I did way too many shows where Dustin was watching tennis on the TV screen the entire show. And so I've given myself a lifetime reprieve of tennis is what this is. I don't mind it. It's not bad. It's just I'm good. Like I'm spent. Did people think that was a... so what do they love about it? The fact that it just went forever?
It was so compelling. Yeah, it was such a compelling match. The back and forth and the comeback and yeah. So
tennis is great to gamble on. By the way, like just in case you guys want to know, if you want a new addiction in life. Tennis gambling is a real one, but yeah, I don't recommend it. I really don't. But it's high. The ups and downs are so extreme, and there's everything changes and just flips like that. That is a roller coaster of a sport. All right, ABC, ESPN, NBA Finals broadcast. They had the addition of the digitally imposed trophies. You were mad about this. My big pet peeve after game one was that it looked like game 67. It looked like a regular season game. And with all due respect to Breen and the people that are on that call, that's not an oomph call. You know what I mean? Like I'm sorry, like Mike Breen, I like you, but you're not Tirico. You know, you're not even. Who else do you want to put up there in like rare air?
Breen's calls in the 2016 NBA Finals Game 7.
You're not even Ian Eagle.
Pretty memorable.
No, he's gotten great calls because he's been in the right situation. But when I think like big game, like people always get on me for like Joe Buck, for instance, and I'm like, when you hear Joe Buck, him and Troy Aikman sound big.
Yeah,
that sounds big. Tirico sounds big. You know, there are certain broadcasters that just sound... Kevin Harlan...
puts it in, doesn't get it going for you. You don't like that call?
I'm still mad about him not doing the bang after Halliburton's game one
winner.
Well,
he gave you a bang in game two.
That was unnecessary bang. I needed the right proper context. That was a makeup bang, and I don't appreciate it. So I wanted more. I wanted more from the broadcast, and then they did these digitally imposed trophies, and I just shoot it off into the moon.
Yeah, it was... Adam Silver said the reason they don't put the guys... guest players were slipping on the decals. Here's my thing. If you can do these stupid, ugly floors for, what is it, the cup, the whatever it's called, the in-season the tournament
Emiratis.
Nonsense. Here's the fix. I came up with the fix. They should make, the NCAA does, they should make an NBA Finals floor, and then you can customize on the out-of-bounds area. You can, for the two cities you send that floor to, for the NBA Finals, and that solves the problem of having to worry about the decals on the floor. Or, because those things are put together like jigsaw puzzles, you just take one of those pieces of the jigsaw puzzle,
it's not hard.
Get it refinished, and you plug that in. It's not difficult.
And then, you know, show the Star Spangled Banner, show some of the big intro
show
stuff.
The player By the way, NBA on NBC is going to show player introduction. Remember the 1990s Chicago Bulls
intro? I like that.
NBA on NBC this fall.
I remember
show
the 90s Bulls intros. Yeah. Come on.
By the way, they're the greatest player intros in NBA history.
Without question. All right, 216-474-0092. Nick Chubb and the era is over. Are you happy that he's going to get a chance to play for a competitor? It's Afternoon Drive. We'll do it in 5 minutes right here on The Fan.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9-to-5 for a 5-to-9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
College holds a mythic place in American culture, but there are stories you won't hear on the campus tours.
The higher-ups are concerned about one thing, and that is avoiding scandal.
I'm Margot Gray. On the new podcast, Campus Files, we cover everything from rigged admissions to the drama of Greek life and student protests. Listen to and follow Campus Files, an Odyssey original podcast, available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.